Would you please turn to Isaiah chapter 36? I don't know how many of you are keeping up with the Bible reading assignments, and if you're not, you know, no stones are being cast. Just do the best you can and really put forth the effort to do this, because, you know, the sower sows the word, and the more word you sow, the more the word is going to be able to work in us according to the will of God. God's word is life. And, you know, you're sowing life into your life. Praise the Lord. So I'm guessing that by now you're probably at Isaiah 36. Let's begin reading. Verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. Now to give you a heads up, what he's doing, he has invaded the land of Israel, and he's headed to Jerusalem. Now along the way, he has conquered various cities and villages and so forth. And it says here in verse 2, the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say that sayest thou, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now, on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. But if thou say to me, We trust in the Lord our God. Is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, You shall worship before this altar? Now stop right there. What was it Hezekiah did? Tore down all the altars and so forth of the false gods. And what this guy is doing, he's saying, Hey, you say you're trusting in your God? What? Excuse me, but didn't Hezekiah tear down all the altars where you're supposed to be worshiping your God? So this guy really doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's trying to get in their heads. You know what I'm saying? Well, he says, verse 8, Now, therefore, give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. In other words, you know, you guys try and pay us off. I'll give you 2,000 horses. That's a lot of horses. And he says, yeah, if you be able on your part to set riders upon them. In other words, you people are too stupid and too uncoordinated. You couldn't ride them if I gave them to you. And trust me, it wouldn't have mattered what they gave. He was not going to give them 2,000 horses. That wasn't going to happen. So verse 9, he continues, and he says, How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, Go up against this land and destroy it. Okay, no, God did not tell him to do that. But he's trying to get these people to think that he loves God just as much as they love God. And he's trying to get them to think, well, this guy Sennacherib, he's doing what God wants him to do, so we better submit to him. In other words, again, this guy is totally clueless. But he continues. Then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, Speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall of the city. But Bradshekah said, Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Now, that's kind of graphic, I agree. But this is exactly what he's talking about. In other words, if you don't do what I want you to do, this is how you're going to end up. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, Make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me. And eat ye every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. In other words, he's telling them right here, it doesn't matter what you guys do, we're taking you away captive. Are you seeing this? He's telling them, Come on, guys, just do what we say, and you're going to be eating from your own farms and so forth until we take you away. And then he says, verse 18, Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, The Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? In other words, your God is no different from any of these other gods of these nations that we've conquered. Your God is just as weak and powerless as all these other gods. But, now look at this verse 21, all these people that are on the city walls, standing there listening to him. But they held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Now, do you know what that did? Those people that stood there looking at him and listening, you know it frustrated him. He's expecting some kind of a rise out of these people. He's expecting them to come back and, you know, who do you think you are? You're not going to do that. You can't. He's expecting some interaction, and they're just standing there looking at him. Like, go ahead, run your mouth. We're listening. Well, verse 22. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Okay, now, as I was reading this chapter, the Lord began to minister to me and share with me, does any of this sound familiar? Now I'm putting it in my words, all right? Does any of this sound familiar? In other words, is this not exactly what the liberals are saying to the body of Christ today? Now, obviously, the terminology is different. I get that. But it's the same message. You Christians can say what you want. I mean, where is your God? Come on. I mean, look what we've done. Look what we've done to you. We've put the transvestites into your schools, into your libraries. We've made it possible for men to use the women's restrooms and women to use the men's restrooms. We don't care about your children. Don't you understand this is the way it's supposed to be? Do you not understand what we'll do to you If you tell us you don't agree with what we want to do, you folks get the idea? This is no different. Sennacherib is still speaking today. And it says here that Eliakim and these others, you know, they went to Hezekiah to tell him what's going on. Now, I want to read something to you. This came out, I read this today. It's just an example of Sennacherib doing what he can to, Sennacherib, symbolic, of doing what he can to shut down everything that represents Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. A federal district court ruled Monday, two days ago, in favor of a Michigan fruit farmer who was ousted from a local farmer's market after he said he wouldn't host same-sex weddings at his farm. The decision may signal the end of what has been a six-year legal battle. Steve Tennis, owner of Country Mill Farms, sued East Lansing, Michigan in 2017 after officials chose to exclude him from the city's farmers market. Tennis, a devout Catholic, apparently was targeted by city officials after saying on Facebook that he follows the Catholic Church's teachings about marriage, including when he participates in weddings at his family's farm. On Monday, a U.S. district court, do you realize what you just heard? He put a post on Facebook, this is what I believe. And what happened? Immediately, Sennacherib went after him. Immediately. Well, on Monday, a U.S. district court judge for the Western District of Michigan ruled that Tennis and his family were improperly forced, quote, forced to choose between following their religious beliefs and a government benefit for which they were otherwise qualified, meaning going to the farmer's market and selling their produce. The court said the city of East Lansing violated the Tennis free exercise rights protecting the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. Quote, the reason is simple. Denying a person an equal share of the rights, benefits, and privileges enjoyed by other citizens because of their faith discourages religious activity, the ruling states. You know, you just wonder how many of the people at the farmer's market were living in opposition to the Word of God, but that's okay. That's all right. Even if they put posts on Facebook, that's okay. Well, to continue, Country Mill Farms is a 120-acre second-generation family farm in Charlotte, Michigan. Steve and his wife, Bridget Tennis, are both U.S. military veterans and served 4 years on active duty. Since 2010, Country Mill sold organic produce and other products at the East Lansing Farmers Market. But in 2017, the city adopted a new policy that used a discretionary system of individual assessments to, quote, target Country Mill, according to the lawsuit filed by lawyers at Alliance Defending Freedom. Country Mill, now listen to this, Country Mill is located in Charlotte, 22 miles from East Lansing, and well outside the city's boundaries and jurisdiction, the lawsuit says. That'd be like somebody, the city of Dayton, taking legal action against somebody in Middletown. I mean, there's no difference. This is stupid. It's stupid, but it tells you something about the leadership in East Lansing. It continues. The initial decision to sue the city of East Lansing, Tennis says, was tough. This was a tough decision we had to make 7 years ago when we were faced with the choice of providing for our family like we always had or walking away from our religious beliefs. And as parents and as veterans, that was a very tough decision to make, Tennis told Fox News Digital in an interview. Quote, but we're glad that we were able to go forward with this, and the court has come out with a strong ruling that helps not just our family, but really people of all backgrounds and beliefs to realize that the government can't choose to punish some people just because they don't like their beliefs, he said. The decision by East Lansing officials came after Tennis on August 24, 2016 shared a Facebook post that, based on his Catholic belief that marriage is a sacramental union between one man and one woman, he honors his religious belief when hosting and participating in weddings at Country Mill. East Lansing has defended its position in court, but through a six-year legal battle, has continually lost. Now, you would think that after the first couple of you lose in court, then you appeal to the next level. You'd think they might want to give up on this. But no, they can't stand Jesus. That's what it comes down to. Fox News Digital asked the city whether it plans to appeal Monday's decision, but did not receive an answer in time for publication. I read something before I came out here tonight that apparently the city is looking to appeal again. Well, quote, we're just grateful for the court's ruling and hopeful that everyone can see that whether they believe it with Steve or not about marriage, this is a ruling about each one of us being able to live according to our religious beliefs. And that's the freedom that everyone should want, quote, end quote, Kate Anderson, senior counsel for ADF, told Fox News Digital. This is just one example, and this is hot off the press, of what's been going on. Sennacherib is doing everything he can to put an end to everything that represents God, the Bible, and Jesus Christ. It's going on now. But you'll notice that when Sennacherib was talking, the people on the wall, the Jews, in verse 21 it says, they held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. See that? Well, number one, they obeyed the king. Good thing. But here's what's interesting. There's a lesson to be learned in verse 21. Too many Christians, when they get involved in verbal sparring with Sennacherib's representatives today, they want to spout off without the word of God. They just want to mouth off. They just want to talk, you know, who are you to tell us and what do you think? And I mean, and so on and so forth. But yet, too many times what I've seen on social media, Christians aren't given scripture. They're just mouthing off. They're just expressing their anger. Well, guys, I'm sorry, but that's not good enough. You need to be able to give a reason for what you believe and why. Don't just say, well, the Bible says, no, that's not good enough. Put the scripture out there. Put it out there. Take a stand with God's word. I mean, if you feel like you have to reply, I learned years ago, just hush up and pray. And just don't get pulled into it. Because a lot of this, these are booby traps. They'll pull you in. This stuff will pull you in. And before you know it, man, you've got a whole lot of enemies. And some of them will be Christians. It's just nuts. Absolute nuts. But you see here, in verse 22, that Eliakim and Shebna and Jonah, they went to Hezekiah with their clothes rent and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Now look what happened in chapter 37, verse 1. Look at Hezekiah's response. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Now here's what I want you to see this, what it represents. They turned to God instead of trying to figure it out on their own. And too many Christians today are trying to, they complain, well, you know, something's got to be done. Something's got to be done. Okay, well, what? Well, I don't know, but something's got to be done. Somebody ought to be doing something. You know what? If you were praying, you would be doing something. But what you're trying to do is figure it out on your own. Fuss and complain about the politicians. I'm going to vote for this person. I'm going to vote for that person. This person's better than the other one. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. You know what? I'm sorry. That's not turning to the Lord. The first thing that Hezekiah did, we're going to the house of the Lord. We're going to the house of God. And we're going to do what we can to seek God. Now, back in those days, it's not uncommon. You know, they would go to, well, here it says, you know, they sent people to Isaiah the prophet. That was not uncommon back then. Nowadays, we don't have to send somebody to a prophet or to the pastor. Nowadays, you know what? We just go before the throne of grace on our own. We don't need to go between. We could just go there. Well, anyway. So the first thing they did, Hezekiah, they turned to God. Now, this is so important in this day and age. Because the way all this stuff works, all of the call it the woke stuff, whatever you want to call it, it is a distraction to get our eyes off God. And Sennacherib, Satan, would love it if he's capable of, you know, he'd love it if he can get us distracted with just complaining and fussing and going on and not going to God. And that's the key. Because if he can keep us away from truly seeking after God, then you know what? He can maintain his grip on what's happening. Look, you either believe that we have authority over the enemy or you don't. You either believe that God's will is God's will. But now look at this. Look what he said in verse 3. Continue this. And they said unto him, Isaiah, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Now, look what they said. They're saying in verse 4, you know, it could be that God has heard the words of Rabshakeh. It could be. It could be that God has a clue what's going on. You see this? It could be that the Lord God has heard the words of Sennacherib and what he's been saying. And so, verse 6, look at this. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. This is a message for the body of Christ today. It doesn't matter what you hear from Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter what you hear from the capital of whatever state you live in. It doesn't matter what the mayor says. It doesn't matter what the governor says. God is saying, be not afraid of what the Sennacheribs in this country are saying. You know, we have elected officials that we thought were really conservative. Guess what? It turns out they're not as conservative as what we thought. Now, some of them are, but some that we trusted, it turns out, well, they're not what they presented themselves to be. And then we start getting worked up. There are Christians out, I'm telling you right now, there are Christians out there who are, they're afraid of what will happen if the election does not go, this upcoming presidential election, if it doesn't go in the direction of a conservative victory, regardless of who runs. They're afraid. I can remember the reactions way back when, you know, Bill Clinton won. the first time. And Christians, man, you'd have thought the world was coming to an end. And then he went a second time. And they expected everything to fall apart. And then with Barack Obama, all the stuff that happened. It's like every time that a liberal politician is elected into that position of being the president, you've got Christians out there, they act like God doesn't know what's going on. But God does know what's going on. And just like he said right here in verse 6, God recognizes that these people in our nation, these governmental leaders, God knows that they have blasphemed him. They know. He knows they have. God is not ignorant. And he is paying very close attention. And whether we believe it or not, he is moving. He is. I don't know how. I don't know the ins and outs, but I'm telling you, he's moving. But now look at this. Look what happens. In Isaiah chapter 37, just jump way ahead to verse 33. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. One angel shows up and takes out 185,000 soldiers in one night. And nobody heard a sound. Well, how do you figure? Because it says right here, when they woke up, I mean, if they'd have heard something, they'd have been awakened by what they were hearing. Now, I don't know how this angel did it. 185,000, he kills them all. 185,000. Well, Sennacherib, verse 37, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adramelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, don't leave here tonight saying, oh, Pastor Jim says that God's going to send an angel and kill all these politicians. No, God, no, don't. What I'm saying is this, God knows what's going on. And he's watching. And notice God says in verse 33, the king of Assyria, he's not coming into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. In other words, folks, we're in the kingdom of God. And God is saying the kingdom's going to stand. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of Sennacherib is out there and what he's saying and what his plans are. It does not matter how many soldiers he has to help him do whatever he wants to do. God is saying, my kingdom is going to stand. And I'm going to fight on behalf of my kingdom. And then here in verse 33, he says, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Today he would say, for mine own sake and for my son Jesus' sake. God is fighting on our behalf. Now, does this mean that everything was perfect from this point on with Hezekiah and Israel? Well, no, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is this. For us today, God is moving. And the kingdom of God is going to stand. It's not going to be shut down. It doesn't matter what laws the government passes. Listen, Rome made it illegal for the Christians to do what they wanted to do. So they scattered. But you know what? It actually turned against Rome because Christianity spread like a wildfire and people were getting saved all over the place. Romans were getting saved. There was the book of Romans, all right? That's to a church in Rome, okay? A vibrant church, a strong church. God is saying Sennacherib is going to raise his voice and he's going to have his Rakshebas all over the country spouting off, you can't stop us. There's nothing you can do. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to tell the farmers that they can't come into the farmers market, even though they don't live in our jurisdiction. We're going to try and enforce our laws here on them over there and try to starve them out. I'm telling you guys, it isn't going to work. The kingdom of God is going to stand no matter what. The kingdom of God is going to stand. Do not be afraid of Sennacherib. Do not be afraid. When you hear laws this and laws for that, do not be afraid. Pray, keep praying, keep pressing into God. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, as an Isaiah, is going to speak to you and tell you, do not be afraid of the voice of Sennacherib, no matter who is speaking it, because God is at work now. God is at work. Now, look back in chapter 37 in verse 3. Back up there and take a look. And they said, the fellows that came to talk to Hezekiah, they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah. You know, they went to Isaiah, and Hezekiah says, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and of blasphemy. Well, yeah, I mean, is that not what we're seeing in this country right now? Trouble, rebuke, and blasphemy? Now look at this. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not enough strength to bring forth. The children have come to the birth, and there's not enough strength to bring forth. I want you to think about this. God's will was for Mary to give birth to Jesus. But it could only happen if she submitted to the will of God and spent 9 months in preparation to give birth. See that? And then guess what? That day came. That day came. And Jesus was born. And the heavenly host got involved with it. Talk about a birth party. Praise God. Now here's the thing. God's will is for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and revival. Now, he is ready for it to happen now. Look at this. The children are come to the birth. God is ready for this outpouring and this revival to be birthed in a major way right now. Right now. But we do not have enough strength to do it on our own. We can't make it happen. What do we have to do? We have to submit to His working in us. And I'll give you a hint. The prayer closet is the birthing chamber of revival. We have to stay in there and keep praying and seeking God. And along with the prayer, yes, the word and the worship and so forth, but the praying is so critical to this. Because God is going to work through us to birth this spiritual move. We have to come into agreement with Him. And when we do, as we continue to press in, I'm telling you, we're going to see it. Do not give up. Do not become weary in the well-doing. Sennacherib throughout this nation is trying to tell us, not in these specific words, but in everything else that is being said, you're not going to have your outpouring. And you're not going to have revival. Your God is not going to move on your behalf. It's not going to happen. No, we are going to take control. And we're going to turn this into, you know, a socialist nation, a communist nation, a this or that or whatever. And God's on the throne laughing at them, saying, you know what? You really think you're in control, don't you? I mean, you really think that you can stop me. But you can't. I created a universe. I gave control of creation over to man. But that doesn't mean I removed myself from involvement. Guys, God is continuing to move. God is moving now. And if we will stay in there and keep praying and keep seeking, you know what? The birthing is going to take place. There was a verse, I should have written it down, but I didn't. And, oh, let's see if I can find it real quick. Nevertheless, I think it's another chapter further along. God is saying, look, I'm going to move and I'm going to provide for you. And I'm going to see to it that everything's okay for you. Regardless of what you see going around you, I will move on your behalf and I will lift you up and I will bless your life. In other words, God was saying in this, you're going to be facing a whole lot of challenges, but you are my children in my kingdom and I'm going to be watching over you. The worst thing that we can do is begin to get into this place of, like they did, well, you know, it could be if God is hearing the words of Rabshakeh. No, we have to stand strong in this belief that, yeah, God is hearing what's happening. But he's also responding to our prayers. He's also responding to the body of Christ, those who are yielding over to him and submitting to him and letting him move in a way that otherwise he wouldn't be able to move. Now, folks, we have the opportunity to be a part of that group that God is going to move through. The truth of the matter is, it's very possible. No, I don't want to say very possible. I will say this. Consider, what if, you know, we're the only church in the Miami Valley praying and believing for revival. I mean, anybody can say revival, anybody. But I'm talking about pressing into revival, at least the way we've been. You know, we could be the only church doing that. Now, I hope we're not. But what if we are? All these people in the Miami Valley, they're depending on us. They don't know it. But they're depending on us. We have to keep pressing in. We have to continue in our prayers and our time. Do not neglect your time with God away from here. Do what you can to keep the prayers flowing. Do what you can to stay in the Word, sowing it into you, speaking the Word, being in agreement with God. Do what you can. Seek God. Let Him help you rearrange your life and your time so you will be able to give Him what He needs. And ask Him to start taking away your desires for the things that are a distraction in your life. And He will. He'll start moving. Folks, it's an honor and a privilege for God to want to use us in this world. Praise God. How amazing.